June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, oh man, Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford. And we only have about 90 minutes, only 88 minutes now. So we got a boogie. No time for our usual nonsense and riffraff, right?
That's right.
Okay.
I'm with you on that.
Okay, good, good, good. Then let's go ahead and get to, well, I guess, go ahead and give me cut number three.
He's got the ball now. Right edge of the arc. Here comes a three. Halliburton with 22 points. Timeout, Oklahoma City.
So I kind of want to wrap everything up into this because Corey's right. We're going to try to knock out multiple segments at one time.
We're just trying to entertain you.
Exactly. So let's talk the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, and the Stars head coaching job is really desirable, right? All right, let's start.
That's a good question.
With, I agree, person who told it to me is a genius. Let's start with the NBA Finals. I know Bobby was joking around and kicking me in the junk, but I will admit this series has already become more compelling than I thought it would. By the way, Indiana gets to enjoy the best of both worlds right now because not only are they up in the series 2-1. Do you know what the series odds are right now?
No.
Indiana is a plus 185, which means you can still get almost two times your money if you think the Pacers are going to win and the Pacers are winning the series. So it's a very rare instance, Corey, where the coach is winning and can still say nobody believes in us.
Yeah, no, and that's you know, Rick Carlisle will use every bit of that.
For sure.
He'll use every bit of that motivation to keep them locked in on what he wants them to do. And I think that Vegas is kind of betting on this becoming a three-game series after they leave Indiana. And, okay, we'll be both splits at home on each one whenever they leave back. Now it's Oklahoma City has two games at home. That can all be thrown into a mess if Indiana wins another one at home, obviously.
Yes.
And I think what Indiana is doing right now is go back and watch what Rick Carlisle did to LeBron and Dwayne Wade. He wore out that superstar. He said, Jet, run around and make him chase you everywhere. Shea's having to do that. He said, hey, guess what we're going to do? We're not just putting one person on LeBron. We're not just putting one person on Kobe. We're not just putting one person on Kevin Durant. Through that thing, he said, we're throwing everybody at him. And right now, they're doing the same thing to Shea. And Kevin, you know what that does? That mentally fries people. Whenever they turn around and they go, crap, how do I go after this guy? How do I attack this guy? Or where's this double team coming from? All right, the double team left. Now the double team's coming again. He keeps doing these things that are mentally exhausting Shea. And that's where the hub is for that team.
What I continue to be impressed about as well is Indiana's offensive ability. Like, I knew they weren't like a scrub offensive team or whatever. But if you go back to the Eastern Conference Finals, obviously Pascal Siakam stepped up, was the MVP of that series. I know a lot of the focus is on Tyrese Halliburton. He almost had a triple-double last night, and rightfully so. But before that, I had been impressed by Nembhard and his ability to contribute solidly offensively while also doing well defensively. And then Mathurin last night, he was going off and really helping them out. So it kind of feels like the Pacers have done an excellent job. I know you talked defensively about spreading it out, but offensively, every time you think you isolate, this is the person that can hurt us besides Halliburton, that they're like, no, this person can do it, and so can this person. And you still got to think Miles Turner has a game in him where he can really be more effective. More effective offensively. I know he had a million block shots last night.
And they have really, really top level for them. And this seems like you can say this about a lot of Rick Carlisle teams. For his island of misfit toys, he knows how to use each one. Obi Toppin, good role player. Really good role player to have on your bench. And he's able to contribute, maybe not 20 points, but he's able to do all these other things. And that's where I think this series really becomes more effective. They look like the more physical team too, Kevin. Like the foul on Caruso last night, I was like, oh man, he really put him down. And they're not letting anything easy and soft be a foul. They're like, if we're gonna foul people, we're gonna really put a hurt on them.
You know, it's really interesting, and we'll probably talk about this more if it comes to fruition. If Indiana wins the series, where does this title put Carlisle's legacy at? I think the biggest thing that it does is it breaks him out of the one club, right? Like you're not in that you're not in that group anymore. And all of a sudden now you start talking about him, whether it's like if you think it's Tom Jonovich, if you think it's Chuck Daly, like I feel like those are very respected head coaches, and I think it moves him into that next level. Now, you're
winning with a couple different teams is very interesting.
You know what? That's a good point, too, because obviously Rudy T and Chuck Daly both won back-to-back, but I'm not going to, like, jump him right ahead to the Pat Riley class just because Pat Riley had the dominant team of the 80s and then, unfortunately, won another title. But I think this ups Rick Carlisle's standing tremendously overall, but it also reminds everybody right now is like, holy crap, the Pacers were a fluke according to everybody when they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals last year. And then when they made it back this year, yeah, but you're not going to win. Not only did they win, they're in the NBA Finals. They're massive underdogs and they lead the series.
Yeah, and that's when Miles Turner, did you see the video of him speaking it into existence before the season where he's like, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to make it to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And we're going to win it. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, look, he spoke it into existence. But everybody else can think they're a fluke.
Sure.
The guys in the locker room.
Sure.
Guys, if they believe it, what did Choppy say? If you believe the lie, it's true to you.
Yeah, it's not a lie if you believe it.
And so they right now, Rick Carlisle has them believing that. And like you just started the show with, he's going to use every single piece of information that goes against them in the conversations with them.
Now, I want to move into the Stanley Cup final tonight. Topic two. What is your entry level, and is there any part of you that thinks this game could break the Oilers? And I know that's a tricky thing to say because last year the Oilers fell down 3-0 in the Stanley Cup final. They came all the way back and forced a game seven. But when you saw the dominant nature of the score and the physicality, I wonder if you see a repeat tonight if Florida will be like, yeah, you're back and you're better, but you're still not as good as
I think the natural nature of humans is when you get up 3-0 to coast. I got a three-game advantage on them. It's going to take them forever to come back and beat us.
Sure.
And you start thinking, man, we've done all these things. Right now, I think Florida's in a mindset of we're not letting that happen again.
Yeah.
We know how much better we are than them, and I think Edmonton, kind of like the Stars, is about to experience the crap. We've run out of things to do to beat them. We've run out of ways to beat them, and they keep beating us. What are they doing? And they're going to be confused to a point where they don't know what to do. I think Edmonton will score, and they're going to keep trying to do that. But Florida's like, we know how to beat them now, and they're going to just continue to do. I don't think this series is going to last much longer.
Well, and that is fair. And of course, if it does go the other way, clearly the excitement in Edmonton and not only tying the series but regaining home ice advantage, trying to break the I think 32-year drought of Canadian teams winning the Stanley Cup. I'm super intrigued to see how that plays out tonight. But we have another hockey thing to get to. Topic three. Go ahead and give me cut number six, Alec, if you will.
And off the clock here in the third period. Rantanen again. Rantanen scores! Off the skate of Gerard!
Now, my answer to this question is going to be yes. But I think it's a great question from Corey about the desirability of the Stars job. And like my surface reason I said yes is I was like, oh, three straight Western Conference Finals. And I get that. But on the flip side, man, that the level of pressure the second you walk in the door with the Stars is going to be so much different than it is for a lot of NHL teams. Obviously, not Florida, not Edmonton, probably not Colorado, but a lot of other NHL team.
Yeah, it was the piece by Leah Asimakopoulos where she kind of noted what they're looking for. DeBoer is the reason they got to those Western Conference Finals 3 years in a row.
Sure.
He, whatever structure he had in that locker room, he knew he had the talent, but he also guided the structure of that locker room to that place. So you're already replacing a guy that knows how to get to that place.
Yep.
So now you have to be good enough to know how to get to that place. That's part of the I don't know if David Carl, they're like, oh, no, he knows how to do it. He did it in college. And that's going to just completely transfer to this. But you already have to replace a guy that did that. So the expectation of that is now you have to win the cup or be in the cup at least. I think be in the cup is the expectation.
Yeah, because it like let's just say you bring in whoever. And I know like one of their things is going to be, oh, he's in his first season. But you know, if you lose in the Western Conference Finals again, people who are still Team DeBoer, because that's going to seep over into next year, are going to be like, the hell, what? We could have done that.
But her, her list included a proven winner, a new voice. So you got to have those two things. A proven winner who also is a fresh voice, but maybe not too new of a voice because we've been told by Jim Nill and the group that they want to kind of keep a lot of continuity with what they already have. A player's coach. So that's a thing that you have to be. You can't be a hard ass. Toughness. You have to be a hard ass. So hold on. You have to be, can't be a player's coach and a hard ass.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to work. You got to command respect.
Sure.
Strong special team system. They had a pretty decent one that they were working on. Maybe it can be better. Maybe they can grow it. Ability to work with superstars. Like the list of things, including the pressure of being the guy that take them over the hump. I don't know if every coach wants this job, but I feel like the great ones, the great coaches that know, we'll look at it and go, I can do that. I can. I don't need to change that team. I just need to tune it up a little bit.
Okay. Let me ask you guys about player.
I don't know who's available that wants something like that.
Sure. And let me ask you about player buy-in as well, because this is how I'm motivated, but not everybody is motivated the same way. Whoever the next coach is, I would go in there and I would be like, you guys have been a really good hockey team. You have done so well in the playoffs the last 3 years, but you haven't done well enough and you haven't been great. I'm here to make you great. And so, like, to me, I'd be like, hell yeah, let's go take that next step and win. But how many other people...
You think that room right now, would eye roll at that? Or do you think they would be on the page with you?
I don't think I can say that there's a consensus, but I do think there'll be some people in there and be like, listen to this, especially as a college coach.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this MF or like, oh, you want a college? Neat. This is a whole different level. We've been in the Final Four three straight times. What are you talking about? And that's the balance of motivation versus you don't want to alienate any of your people straight out the gate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's where the eye roll part is kind of concerning because you got to figure out who those guys are. That's what usually a first year is, right? I got to figure out what guys are staying and what guys are going.
Yeah.
McCarthy kind of did that. You know, you kind of look around at coaches and managers that come in. Bochy didn't really need to. He had a group that kind of was really, Chris Young went and said, I'm going to give you a team that can compete.
Sure.
But a lot of times you're trying to figure out who pairs well with me and where are my leaders so that I don't have to be the one riding people's asses all the time.
And that is an inherent advantage that Bochy or like even the year Hitchcock came back had. Is they can say, I've been in the spot you're in now, and we did it. Like, the difficulty for Jim Nill...
Yeah, they could totally believe.
Exactly. Because Jim Nill can be like, I've won cups before, but then the follow-up is, did you make all the decisions? No. Or if you bring in a college coach, well, I've won championships before at the NHL level. No. Or if you were an assistant on a championship team. That's the issue with so many of these coaches coming in. Not for me. I'm just saying, surely there are people in that room who are going to be like, man, I really feel like you just kind of crapped all over what we'd accomplished.
I wanted to throw this into a conversation today at some point. Maybe okay. We can explain it. We can discuss it a little more. A guy named Nick Zarius, who works for the 33rd team football, also does Locked On Oilers. I love this comment from him. Florida Panthers traded a Hart Trophy finalist, 110-point forward, coming off the best season in the history of the franchise after losing in the second round and have been unanimously praised for showing conviction. You don't have to wait for assets to bottom out to move on from them.
Yes.
Kevin, like that right there is like, you have to see the trend and know what your team is. And I hope Jim Nill sees it and doesn't go, no, the team just needs this.
I go back to, and there are plenty of other examples. You go back to a team like the Chiefs that we talked about. Alex Smith was solid, but that's it. They were like, and that's all you're ever going to be.
As this is going to go.
Exactly. And so they were like, hey, let's make a move. You've seen it time and time and time again. And this doesn't have to be about the Cowboys, but like the Cowboys feel like the poster child against what you just said. Why would you trade an asset if they haven't bottomed out? Because sometimes that's what you have to do. And then the other thing is, I bet they got a crap load of stuff for that asset. And that's the other thing, is sometimes you let that asset go at or near the height of its ability to bring back that requisite value that you want. Not just when people are like, oh, you know, why can't we trade Terrence Steele for a first round pick? And you're like, whoa, because nobody wants Terrence Steele right now. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, but also baseball nuggets. What? Next on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Man.
Lighter ready. He kicks and fires. Swinging. There's a high drive. Well hit ball deep into center. Going back on this is Carter. He looks up and it's gone. Byron Buxton hits his 11th home run of the year. It comes with two men on board and gives Minnesota a 3-2 lead.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to try to run baseball nuggets and gridiron gravy in this segment. We got a short show. We'll be leading you into Rangers baseball 11:30 pregame right here on your home of the Rangers and the Cowboys. Sorry, Terrence Steele. 105.3 The Fan. That was unfair. That was unfair. All right. Do you guys want to start with gridiron? I can acknowledge that. That was a mistake. Do you guys want to start with gridiron or baseball nuggets?
Yeah, we're going to start with gridiron.
All right, right now.
Gridiron nuggets.
It's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
And we start with, I don't know, the least surprising story of the day. Shamar Stewart has left Bengals minicamp. Look, you go back 2 days ago. And we're like, it's really weird that he still hasn't signed, but he's there. And he had that wrinkle that the Bengals tried to add to his contract that essentially like made it not really fully guaranteed. And then I think it was yesterday, or maybe it was after our show on Tuesday, where he did a sit down and all these reporters were asking him about his contract. And he goes, hey, I'm here. And he's like, I get other issues with players not that want a raise and everything like that. But he was like, I haven't even got my deal yet and I'm here. And they're like, hey, why do you think that they changed the contract? And he goes, you'd have to ask the Bengals that. And so he like went in depth about his issues with the cheap ass Bengals. He didn't say it like that, but, you know, we all got it. And now he's leaving, as he probably should.
This is what happens when you draft A&M players.
OK, that's one argument. But unlike at the collegiate level, A&M players have contributed to winning teams.
I do wonder how many Bengals fans right now are going, this effing rookie. Greedy rookie. Or if they're like, no, hold on, he's right. And our team is cheap like this.
See, and that's what I would do, because they added something that they've never put in a first-round contract at a time when not only are first-round contracts just rubber-stamp guaranteed all the way, you're getting to the point where you're going to start to see second-round contracts rubber-stamp guaranteed all the way. They're like, hey, we're going to throw in this one little thing that says maybe it's not really guaranteed.
Yeah, and that's...
His agent's got to be like, don't sign that.
And that's why he knows, too. If he had a bad agent, his agent would be like, hold on. Yeah, let's go ahead and sign it. Good agent goes, this has never been like this before. I don't know what they're trying to pull a fast one. Yes. It's not going to work.
Zach Taylor probably wisely said, I'm not going to make any predictions on Shamar Stewart. Because what he really wants to say is both sides of that. Well, you're a rookie. You got a lot of lot to learn. Get your ass up here. But also, I really wish my ownership was not cheap as hell, especially on that other defensive player. Think about it. How terrible was that Bengals defense last year?
They were bad.
And they were like, don't worry, we'll get all the wide receiver contracts taken care of. But the defensive stud we have and the first round pick we made, well, let's see what happens.
Yeah, no, it's a bad approach. I don't love it for them.
Yeah.
Nor do I love it for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
Man, I bet Joe Burrow's like, hey, what I meant, pay my guys the money. No, I meant across the team. I didn't just mean the people that I throw to. All right, let's talk about some joint practices. The Giants and Jets are going to hold their joint practices this season. I think the goal is to determine if they combined teams, could they maybe make the playoffs this year? I think the answer will still be no, but we'll see how those joint practices go. The Cowboys and Rams are going to also hold a joint practice. They're going to do it ahead of their preseason game. And this is, I love this because Corey, you're well aware of this. We've been to training camp many times. The multi-team practice is where you see as close to actual like practice or scrimmage or whatever as you get to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are moments in regular practice where you see like real physical competitiveness.
Sure.
And usually that's when Micah is on the field. Which is nice to hear that he did put his helmet on and got out there and did some stuff. That's awesome. But usually let's go with the Raiders, the first one we saw. I mean, Raiders fans filled that place. Guess what happened? Cowboys players were like, hold on, these Raiders fans are in our house today. And so they got competitive with each other and a fight broke out.
Real quick, moment I love on the show. I did a bit going around with the Raiders fans, asking them how long they've been on probation. The second person I talked to, he goes, Yeah, about 6 weeks yeah. I've been out.
Yeah.
He goes, you got me.
Yeah, there were a couple more, but yeah. like immediately somebody hit somebody with a mini helmet and fight. And then with the Rams, we've been able to see the competitive nature amongst offensive linemen with Aaron Donald. And
right.
I do really enjoy those practices. I think they're smart.
And from
as
the
long as nobody gets hurt.
979, in joint practices, do all the players just get together and smoke weed?
No.
Usually they try to schedule it from about 2 to 7, if possible. All right, one more note for you. Oh, the Packers.
I mean, 420 hours right in the middle of that.
Yeah. Does it mean something that Chris Young is at that time? Probably not. All right. The Packers are doing business the way I wish the Cowboys would do business all of the time. They're going to take all of the dead cap hit for a Yair Alexander this year. All $17 million of it. Because people will usually be like, oh, you split it as a post-June 1st cut, blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about money that you save. Like, for people that want to get rid of Terrence Steele now, they talk about money you'll save, completely ignoring the, like, extra $8 million or whatever that he still hits your team in 2026. And I'm like, that's why the Cowboys don't spend money. I don't think it's because they're cheap with their players. I think it's because they have so many bad deals that they made with dead money that they don't have any more money to spend.
Yeah, the dead money is always confusing to me because I don't quite understand how it works exactly.
But
I'm glad I have you on my side because then I can just go to you and ask.
The next collective bargaining agreement, I think they should go to the table and also be like, what if the salaries were what they are?
Yeah, what if we just actually corrected all of this?
I know.
And didn't worry about dead money, the cap structure. Yeah, get rid of it all.
Revolutionary idea, probably not going to happen. All right, that's all the gridiron you get. Right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, Alec, I've learned a lot about Corey Majors over the years. One of the things he taught me, maybe at the newspaper, was when in doubt, go with the hot girl. So let's start.
It's more aesthetically pleasing to look at a cover of something.
All right. Because of that, let's start with Red Sox rookie Roman Anthony.
Okay.
It's only fair that if yesterday I talked about the error he made, now we talk about getting his first hits and everything like that. But then also, social media has become enamored with Roman Anthony's sister, because that is how our society works, going all the way back, well, probably for way longer than this, but I remember it with the owner's daughter of the Bucks at the lottery that everyone's like, who is that girl? And so now Roman Anthony's sister, I believe it's Leah Anthony, has taken over the internet conversation.
I know this is about her and him, but I do want to go back to that moment because there's two moments that I predicted, Kevin. Alex Morgan scores a goal for Team USA when we're on a Saturday morning show. And I looked up and said, she's America's next sweetheart. Guess what happened?
It's true.
Then, whenever we saw the Bucks owner's daughter sitting there waiting for the pick or whatever it was, I can't remember exactly. I said, let's just keep track of her Twitter account and see what's going on here.
That night, it went up like, I don't know, 15,000 followers.
I think it was 160,000 followers.
That is unbelievable.
And it was one of those where we were like, just keep track of this. And that's, you're right. That is the way the country, hold on, who is this chick? I've never seen her before. And by the way, I do think that Roman Anthony's sister was intentionally being a little provocative, understanding that she would be seen. And whenever you know that you're going to be seen,
sure,
you want people to see you. And she made sure of it.
Now, I learned that this was not Photoshopped. I really thought it was. But Pope Leo XIV really was wearing a White Sox hat at the Vatican. I just assumed that was fake.
Is that not okay?
Oh, I think it's fine.
Okay. I didn't know if he had to wear his big old hat because doesn't that make him closer to God or something?
Yes.
I didn't know exactly how that worked.
I think it's fine.
Any hat's okay for the Pope, huh?
I don't know if that's okay, but it seemed like he had his regular Pope hat in his hand.
So he
probably just put it on for a second. He's like, check this out.
He wanted people to really know.
Yeah.
I am a White Sox fan.
Yes.
And I am talking to the Lord about getting them a World Series this year because He just saw on the Athletics response that the players are calling them trash and they're a dumpster fire.
Well, guess what? The Athletics have lost 14 straight road games, so I don't really know if I want to hear from them. Jackson Jobe for the Detroit Tigers. He is going to undergo Tommy John surgery, which obviously means not only will he be out for the rest of the season, but then you start to wonder about what next season is going to look like. Really tough break for the Detroit Tigers. Obviously, they have been phenomenal this year, and Jackson Jobe in his rookie season. I know we mentioned this in Crosstalk, but if you missed it, Hunter Dobbins last week talked about how he would never play for the Yankees and he would rather retire than have to play for the Yankees, even if that was his only option to stay in baseball. Now, some people thought it was just because he played for the Red Sox, he was feeding into the rivalry, and that was probably part of it. But then he talked more about it and said, like, his dad had a brief career with New York, and much like people like to tear other folks down with their old tweets, people sprung into action as like, I am going to research this. Joel Sherman of the New York Post looked into it, said he made false claims.
Oh, man.
And then Dobbins had to stick up for his dad by saying it was stuff I grew up seeing pictures from my dad. My dad's the one who got me to love baseball. And then I think this is a fair statement. I think we all do this at some time or another. At the end of the day, I didn't fact check my dad or anything like
that. Yeah, we just believe him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I very, very much so. There have been conversations I've had with Avery. And I'm like, man, he didn't even ask any questions about that. And then 10 years later, he's like, hey, you said this. Is that still the same story? And I'm like, oh, crap. What was my story then?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Just tell the truth, Kevin. That's the best way.
Yes, agreed. It's time to talk with Jared Sandler. But you know what? We're squeezing in multiple things today, so maybe we'll have another topic there. I bet we do. Next on The Fan.
And here comes Dallas Beckers, who's played every second so far in this first half. Steps through. Wow, the finger roll around the rim and in.
Boy, is that pretty.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll chat with Jared Sandler in just 1 second. But this is emblematic of something that we've seen a few times during the season for the Wings. Paige Beckers last night, 35 points. She became the third rookie in Wings history, along with Odyssey Sims and Arike Ogunbowale. And we saw this from Arike earlier in the season. I think she had 36, 38 in a game that the Wings lost. Paige has 35 in a game that the Wings lose. And they lose by double figures. The Wings are now 1-10. So on the one hand, it's super encouraging from Paige. On the other hand, the team is still not good.
5 for 7 from three is nice. She showed her range, too, a couple different times. And her ability just to be around the basket, find open cuts was fantastic. But, Kevin, that team still defensively looks like they're on skates.
And I can see that.
This is my challenge to you, Dallas Wings.
Oh.
Get better defensively. Become a defensive stalwart, and you guys, y'all are going to be competing for the title. Like, seriously. I think that you have something that y'all can build on, but defensively, y'all have to be better to keep up with the other teams in this league.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. Let's preview those Texas Rangers with Jared Sandler. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. What's going on?
Now, I want to jump right to this because we see it all the time, which of course I think means you see it even more than all of the time. How do you feel about Jacob Latz? Because it feels as though the Rangers fan base has turned against him.
Yeah, I love him when he starts an inning clean. It seems like when he comes into a game in the middle of an inning, he struggles. So when he comes in clean, you look at his numbers. I mean, his whiff rate, strikeout rate, both really, really good compared to the league top. Top 25% of the league, and that, you know, you don't just give up on that, but it does seem like when he comes into an inning, he has a tougher time. Even an inning like yesterday where he comes in and they get an out at the plate, so that lead runner is erased, for whatever reason, the rhythm for him appears to be different. You know, when he started the other day in D.C., he was awesome. You know, he pitched really well, maybe ran out of steam a little bit there at the end. They were trying to push him a bit. But I do like him, but there's some guys, for whatever reason, they seem to have more comfort when they start with a clean inning, and he seems to be one of those guys.
Yesterday, or last night, Boats was talking a little bit about the off-speed pitches from Jack Leiter and how he just didn't quite have control of those exactly the way he wanted to. Do you have any more specific things to elaborate on what he wasn't doing right with his off-speed stuff?
Yeah, I don't want to oversimplify it. One thing that I think I'm going to try and communicate easily that maybe people can follow along with next time Jack starts, because it's more than just this. I don't want to say that it only comes down to this, but you know, one thing he has struggled with in general this year, even through what has been a big step forward, is finishing guys off with two strikes. And you know, you think, all right, well, two strikes, you know, one way to get guys out with two strikes, so you can't get them out with one or no strikes, is the strikeout. And you know, he gets his strikeouts with his fastball, and then he can get his strikeouts with his slider. His slider is not a sweeping pitch, though. It's not a pitch that moves a ton horizontally. It's more of a vertical pitch. You know, if you didn't know what it was called, maybe you'd look at it and say, oh, that's probably a curveball.
Yep.
Other than, you know, it's the velocity is up there. But it's a slider. He just, you know, everyone throws their pitches with a little bit of a different shape. But because his is more vertical, he needs to do a better job, it seems, of throwing that pitch over the plate and having his misses be below the zone, not off the plate. What's been happening is, and I actually tweeted this last night, a little dot chart of, you know, where his two strike sliders were located. They were all off the plate, glove side. So as a hitter, it's easier to lay off that pitch because Jack doesn't have another pitch that when he throws it at that starting point, you got to worry about. And because it doesn't move a ton horizontally, when it ends up a couple inches off the plate, it's starting a couple inches off the plate, or maybe an inch off the plate, right? So when he throws that pitch over the plate but below the zone, he's going to get more swings and misses. And I think it will tunnel better with his fastball and make it a little more difficult for hitters to make a decision. So that's one thing. I don't want to say it's the only thing, but that is one thing that I think maybe it would be easy to follow along with next time Jack makes his start is, hey, in general, where is he throwing his slider? But specifically with two strikes, when he's trying to get a swing and miss, where is that pitch located? Because I guarantee he's going to get more swings and misses when that pitch is over the plate but below the zone as opposed to off the plate.
Now, I'm glad that I've been wrong about this so far, but at the beginning of the season or when the acquisition was made, I described Patrick Corbin as the buffet of starting pitchers. The portion sizes are great in terms of the innings pitched, but the results are usually not that great. He has been decidedly better than I anticipated, and I think a lot of people anticipated. What have you seen from him this season that has been particularly effective?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, he's pitched well in traffic. You know, he's got a lot of weak contact, and so that's allowed him to pitch well in traffic. You know, it's not like the strikeout numbers are exquisite. It's not like, you know, he doesn't walk anyone. But when he gets guys on, you know, he's experienced enough. It doesn't seem like he panics in any way, shape, or form. And he's just done a really good job of getting weak contact. You know, a lot of people point to the cutter and his ability to better use that pitch against righties to help, you know, take away what was a pretty stark platoon advantage for opposing hitters. And he's going to be tested with that again because the Twins, you know, do a really good job of matching up. That's a big part of their identity. You know, they love to match up, and they're going to do that again against him today. But the cutter, you know, you look at the pitch individually, like you go to Savant or something, it's not going to have these, like, amazing numbers where it's like, wow, I mean, this pitch is unbelievable. It's just the ability to use that pitch, the way it causes a little additional hesitation for the hitters knowing that pitch is in his arsenal. And then just the way, again, that he's been able to get weak contact has been a huge part of what he's been able to do this year. It's not – some of the peripheral numbers aren't, you know, incredibly sexy. But, you know, again, when guys aren't going to hit the ball hard or they don't hit the ball hard, you tend to have a little more chance to limit slug and to limit damage.
How much do players still care about winning a series? Because when we would always talk in the post game, it would be like, hey, every game counts the same. And I realize, like, if you lose to Minnesota, you lose the series, not the end of the world. You move on to Chicago. But I keep thinking two or three from Washington, if you can take two or three from Minnesota and just keep stacking up series wins, that's how you're really going to get back into contention. But do you get the sense that players, like, view today's game as something like that?
I don't think they look at it like, oh my gosh, like we, for bragging rights, we want to take two or three from the Twins. I think they look at it though as like a way to break down 162 games. And hey, if we can win two of three, we're going to be in good shape. And I think that they look at today's game, not just as one game, but hey, we're going to feel good about getting on the plane, having won back-to-back series. So yeah, I do think that they look at it, maybe not like in a, you know, like I said, in a sense of pride or ego way. I think it's just more, hey, all right, 162 games. Yeah, we can throw out the cliche of one game at a time, but let's break it down series by series. And if we win more series than we don't, we're probably going to be in the playoffs. So, I think especially on the road, when you can win a series on the road, you certainly feel good. And I mean, Kevin, you know, it's all mental gymnastics, right? I mean, however, every game counts the same. You don't get a bonus point for winning a series or anything like that. But when you can, you know, when you can break it down in a certain way, and kind of couch it like that, then, you know, maybe it helps a player understand how to get through a season. So I think it's just a form of mental gymnastics to help break down 162.
With that many games, you need it. I get it. Thank you very much, good sir. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Jared Sandler right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're the KNC Masterpiece, and I feel like it's about that time.
Let's get something away!
877-881.
You caught me off guard. I'm sorry. It's
105.3. Caller number 10 will win a pair of tickets to go see the singer, Bryan Adams, on November 13th at the American Airlines Center. Of course, you can buy tickets, or you can win them for free right now. Caller number 10, 877-881-1053. Coming up next, do folks watch the U.S. Open, at least in part, to watch the golfer struggle? Plus, who you got? Dax on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors. You got Alec Medford. And we do not have a lot of time today. So if you can, go ahead and give me cut number 4, because I said we're going to try to cram in as much content as possible. Give me cut number 4.
The Pacers attempting to go up 2-1 and now officially are up 2-1 as time has run out. Boy, Oklahoma City had the lead in the fourth quarter, but as is their custom, the Pacers rallied and were able to finish this one off 116-107.
Now, I know he's going to be fine because Jay-Z has a net worth of approximately $2.5 billion. But he bet $1 million on the Thunder in that game, and he lost.
That's a lot of money.
It is, but
how much is that to me?
I'll have to get back to you on that, and I'll have to ponder that because we're going to have to keep moving quickly.
All right.
But shockingly little is what I'll say. In the meantime,
that hurts.
Let's talk about, that's not just about you. That's about all people.
No, it makes me
think. That's me. Just... that's Alec Carter. That's all of us. Is something that Xander Schauffele said, and I believe he's having a tough go of it today in the first round of the U.S. Open. So Xander Schauffele said, I don't think people turn the TV on to watch some of the guys just like hit a 200-yard shot on the green. You know what I mean? I think they turn the U.S. Open on to see a guy shoot 8 and suffer. That's part of the enjoyment of playing in the U.S. Open for viewers. And so I always thought about that with like the British Open or the Open, as they like to say, is people like to watch that because they're like, that weather can get freaking crazy out there. So what do you guys think about the idea that folks watch the U.S. Open? I mean, they like golf for sure, but they also watch the U.S. Open to watch these players suffer and hit shots that are relatable to you, to me, to everybody. By the way, Schauffele, 4 in the first round through 14.
The best score right now is 4. Like, that's the best right now. And I think that was through, I can't remember, I just saw it, maybe through 10. That's not why I watch golf, but I do like having the, because I'm not good at golf, Kevin. So right. I don't get competitive. A lot of people, when they play golf, they'll keep score. And I go out to play golf.
You don't keep score when you golf?
I jot it down for the first nine holes, and then I crack my first beer, and I'm done keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
Because now I'm there just to have fun with my buddies. Like, I'm just there to gotcha. Enjoy my time. But I do know the things that I'm watching. And when I watch the U.S. Open, I don't go, oh, you dummy. I go, oh, man, this is a tough course. Or, like, this is specifically tough. And when I watch the Masters, I know everybody's there. Everybody wants to be at the Masters. It's a beautiful thing. It's not the most difficult course in the world. It's beautiful, though. And so there are certain courses that I am watching for, hey, man, this is chaos. But sometimes you do watch somebody hoping for failure to make yourself feel a little bit better, whether it's a bet that you made or whatever. But I don't watch golf for that. But there are some very tough courses that they play on. I mean, the Open in overseas, that's a tough one too.
So, and that's one of the reasons, Alec, that I wanted to bring this up is because I thought about it from the perspective of, obviously, I've talked about golf and it's not my most favorite thing in the world. But I could see if you're a golfer who struggled, seeing somebody who's in a major, who's won a major, hit a tee shot into the crowd and doink somebody, that you're like, okay, should I not have said it like that? And yeah, but like you're there and you're like, that's relatable. I've done that, except nobody's watching me play golf, so it just goes out into the forest.
From the 817, yeah, I love to see when the pros flub a shot in the water. I always think the pros do it. It's not just me. From the 254, why wait nine holes to crack a beer? Good point. I should crack it on the way, you know? As I'm being dropped off, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, not because I'm driving there, but get started early in the morning.
Okay. Because that makes your golf theoretically maybe worse, but all right.
Or well, maybe it makes you better.
Okay. So are you going to have more fun?
Yes.
Hold on. Are you going to have more fun shooting nine holes and being like, fine, whatever, drinking, hanging out with your buddies? Or are you going to have more fun if you're focused, pay attention, you don't drink at all, and you shoot a career best round?
Two very different things. And Kevin, the reason I wait nine holes is to see if I'm having my career best.
Okay.
Usually I'm not.
Right.
Okay. I swing a golf club like I did a baseball bat really hard and just hoping that everything goes straight, and it doesn't. So, but yes, if I'm on fire to start things, I'll probably be like, you know what? I'm keeping this. I'm not going to crack one open yet. Some people feel like they play better. It's like when you go on a cruise ship. You go on a cruise ship, Kevin, you need to drink. Otherwise, you're going to be stumbling all over the place during the waves.
Somebody said, no, Kevin, it's called aiming oil. All right, look. If
that beer strength.
To Corey's point, if beer makes you shoot better, then that is tremendous. Now, to go along with this, and I also want to know who you guys got to win the tournament. Scottie Scheffler is the overwhelming favorite. Corey, you brought this up. Did you see that Scheffler had to delete his Venmo account?
I did see that he had to delete that.
Because he goes, I think everybody heard from fans when they have like a financial benefit or anything in the outcomes, like if he would win. And he goes, that's why I had to get rid of my Venmo, because I was either getting paid by people or people were requesting a bunch of money. When I wouldn't win, it's not a good feeling. And I will tell you this. Don't harass an athlete.
Don't.
If the gamble that you made didn't go your way.
That's on you.
Yes. But the one thing I appreciate, look, it's the same thing when we make predictions or when people make bets. You didn't make the wrong pick. The athlete or team just didn't play the right way, right? And so that's what
they didn't do what they typically do.
That's what we all think at times. But I do respect the person who's like, hey, I complain about this, but you really came through for me, Scheffler. Here's a couple of extra bucks for you.
Throw a chip to the dealer.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, if you're going to complain about like, oh, I got crap cards or whatever, I appreciate at least the people on the other side who tip the dealer or think that Scheffler needs their extra 15 bucks or whatever.
Is it legal to accept that money? Do you know that, like, not legal?
I think in golf it would be, because there's not a cap. I bet in team sports that would be viewed as potentially a way of circumventing the salary cap, although they didn't care when Tom Brady did it to open his business for free and make all the players go there.
I don't know if the PGA's players union is very like, hey guys, y'all can't accept more money.
Yeah, that feels like that probably didn't happen.
It's just a cash app.
All right.
How did people get his cash app though?
I mean,
his phone number leaks, and you're just like, oh, that's Scottie Scheffler.
Look, if Bobby has enough time,
that's true,
to track down all these stories, people have enough time to track down information about Scottie Scheffler. Is that who you guys are picking? He is overwhelmingly the favorite in this tournament.
I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't pick him. I know DeChambeau's at +1 right now.
He's leading right now.
Yeah, it's still early. You know, it's still early in the weekend, Kevin. But yeah, man, I will go Scheffler until he's like, nah, I'm really bad now.
Alec, I want your prediction as well. But if somebody made the bold decision, and we've already seen how with Rory McIlroy, my golf predictions, very questionable track record. If somebody decided to go bold on underdog and predict that he would finish worse than 5.5 in the tournament.
Ooh.
There's pretty good numbers to be had there. Who are you picking to win this tournament?
I might have to follow you down that path, but I'm kind of with Corey where it's like, until he proves me wrong, I got to go with Scotty.
He will
have one of those moments every now and then where he literally is just like, nope, don't have it today. It's over, to quote Mike. But, you know, I think I got to roll with him until he proves that he's not in.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit more about Rangers Twins, plus the biggest misconceptions about MLB players as we lead you into the baseball game next on The Fan.
Lats comes home. There's a line shot to left center field. On the run is Carter. He can't get it. It's beyond his reach all the way to the wall. Wallner is home. France around third. He will score. Rounding third base and holding up now is Willy Castro with a two-run triple as the Twins lead it 5-2.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to lead you into pregame for the series finale with the Rangers and the Twins. Now, we can reflect on last night's game with the Rangers and Twins if you guys like, and I'm all about that, but there's a couple other things that... They lost. We talked about Jared. Let's move on to something else.
Let's win the series.
Okay. See, I'm with you on that. But I wanted to hit a couple of different things going back to, and I really appreciate and thank the work that The Athletic does with the player polls that they do. I think it's a fascinating insight, and they ask a really great variety of questions. Maybe tomorrow we'll do our own Stars poll.
I dare you.
Okay.
I dare you.
I think we might try to do that. So misconceptions about Major League Baseball players. And so, again, they ask more than 130 players about that. And one National League pitcher said, our life is awesome, but it's not as easy as people think. I don't think fans realize when we say spend more time with our teammates and our families that we're not exaggerating. It's not even close. That's why I said you want to be a good dad, good husband. It's not easy. Another National League pitcher. I haven't seen my mom on her birthday in 17 years. People are like, yeah, you're getting paid. You're getting treated great. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I've missed so many things for so many years.
And you know what's really interesting about that? Because, Kevin, I know I missed a lot of things with my kids.
Yep.
Working nights. Yep. Putting them to bed, going to games, things that we were doing while we were working nights that I missed. And nobody ever said anything to me about it. But I felt bad about it.
Sure.
So that's probably what way. No, it's not like some your mom's sitting there because you missed her birthday and she's like, gah, another year.
Right.
No, she's proud of you.
Right.
You feel like you're letting them down.
For sure.
And those things do kind of build up on you. And that's why you do try and make up for it in the off season. You try and say, okay, what vacation can we do? What can we do together? That's what they're meaning by all that is they do feel bad. It's them more than it is anybody else because most people, Kevin, are proud of you for going and pursuing your dream.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm with you. The other thing that came up that, man, I appreciated very much and it feels very similar to radio. Like, obviously, today is a short show for us. And RJ joked, you guys are up here longer to do show prep than you were for the actual show. But an American League pitcher said, people ask what time I get to the ballpark, and I tell 1 p.m., and they're shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Another American League pitcher said, we usually get there at noon. We practice before. Everyone's got their own routine, weightlifting, throwing. We get to the field way before the first pitch. And then a National League position player said, people think we just show up and play the game. They don't see the work that goes into the hours before, and that led me to a conversation that I had with one of Brandon's friend's moms. And she was like, oh, how many hours a week do you think you work? And I was like, I don't know, maybe like 50 or 60. And she goes, oh my gosh, when's your show on? And I said, 10 to 2. And she goes, that's only 20 hours.
Right.
And I was like,
there's
true. Yeah. There's a lot more to it.
Every conversation you have is potential for a conversation,
yes,
for a topic. And
yes,
then you got to go look and find these topics. It's not like somebody just hands us a sheet and goes, hey, do this show today.
Yes.
It has to be prepared. And that part of it is the work that it takes for sure. And the family knows and is willing to let you sacrifice those things for it.
And if you think about it from that perspective, like even if it's a home game, let's say first pitch 7:05.
I was always shocked at spring training, Kevin, when we would get there and those dudes are there at like 6:30, 7
oh, yeah,
in the morning.
Oh, my like, God, so early. Right, yeah. Yeah. And so, like, let's even say a home game, which is theoretically the easier version of it. If you get there at noon, even if the game's at 6:35, all right, after everything, you're probably not really, really leaving the park until 10.
And then you got to decompress, yes, at home.
And that's theoretically the easiest part. Or you got to go home and maybe your wife or whatever is like, hey, there's a thing with the kids or we got this meeting or whatever. So
can you put our daughter down?
Yeah.
You know, I've been with her all day today.
I appreciate the things that go along with that. And I get a lot of people do it because it's their dream. And then the money. I know the money makes up for some of it, but for some people, probably not all of it. And I'm sure that's why, like, some football players retire early and everything like that. For the gambling part, we've been through this many, many times. Don't harass an athlete because the bet didn't go your way. But has legalized sports betting changed how fans treat you or your teammates? 10% unsure. 12% no. 78% yes.
Interesting. Boach yesterday was kind of like, I haven't really noticed it.
And that makes sense to me because as the manager, like obviously he has a huge responsibility, but I bet he gets less flack because so many people bet specifically on athletes and different things like that.
And he maybe doesn't have TikTok.
That's fair.
And then Twitter.
That is fair.
He's probably not seeing it from those angles too. Which is, again, why you're a player. Do what Dak does.
Yeah.
And just build it and promote your stuff that you're doing.
I remember Boachie said once, oh, yeah, I got to get those shows and movies loaded up for me. And so one person brought up a great point. $760,000 is the minimum salary for Major League Baseball. And you're like, that's way more money than I make. And I hear that. But one seven-year veteran said, I worry that the young guys come in and see, and maybe a gambler can manipulate them because they're not making all of the money yet. And I don't ever want to see that. And obviously that could derail your entire career before it even really starts.
Yeah.
One player said, I got a Venmo request for $9,000 with a threat that said, you blew that game. I need you to send that money or I'm going to find your family.
See?
That's a crazy reaction.
Now I need extra contract money to be able to pay for the security from a guy like that.
And I've always thought you should gamble.
But quit complaining about all the money you make and the little work you do to show up there.
If you're going to gamble, I hope you're doing it for fun and not because you really need the money, because that's probably problematic. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got pregame coming up at 11:30. First pitch, 12:10. Rangers, Twins right here on The Fan. Come back with us tomorrow. We'll have a full show, 10 a.m., 2 p.m. I already told you, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Good night, Kevin. This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.